This episode of Trenton Waves is brought to you by...
That is the sound of snoring. And that is the sound of sleep apnea. Every night, millions of people stop breathing for more than 10 seconds for 10, 20, 30, even 80 times per hour while they sleep. And that's dangerous. If you're a sleep apnea sufferer and you don't use or even like your CPAP machine, then you're possibly putting your life at risk. My name's Dr. Kevin Mossman, and not only am I a board-certified sleep dentist, but I'm also a sleep apnea sufferer myself. At our office, I can help you with a custom-made mouth device that takes the place of your dreaded CPAP machine. I love mine because it's comfortable and super easy to use. It costs you nothing to learn more about this life-saving mouth device. So call me today for a free consultation at 732-655-6585. Again, 732-655-6585. Or visit us online at sleepdentistnj.com. Again, that's sleepdentistnj.com.
Are you ready?
It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey. Yeah. With your host, Christina Firestarter Sasso.
Trenton is Mayberry with attitude.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, books, education, talent, events, art, of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Christina.
Hey, it's Christina here with you again, and I have a very special guest today, Carolyn Stetson. Hey, Carolyn, how are you?
I'm fine, Christina. Thanks for having me.
We're so excited because I have questions for you.
Hopefully, I have answers for you.
On our quest to find out all the interesting people in Trenton, so I figure there's about 85,000 of us, right?
Actually, Liz Yule says there are really only 300 people in Trenton, because when you get busy and active, you run into all the same people no matter what you're doing.
I agree with that totally. I think I said that the other day. I said, I think there's five people running the whole city. It's the same five people. Well, first of all, I want to know, how did you end up in Trenton?
Hi. Well, that's sort of a long story. I grew up in Massachusetts, went to college in Massachusetts, but I was a teacher. Mm-hmm. And when I was trying to get jobs, teaching was full because it was towards the end of the Vietnam War, and a lot of men went into teaching who otherwise might not have because they were getting deferments that way. But New Jersey was still growing, and so I wound up with a teaching job in New Jersey and a house in a beautiful neighborhood in Trenton.
Oh, and it is a beautiful neighborhood.
Yes, it is.
This is such a cool spot. I don't think people like who don't live here get how cool the areas are, the different areas. You go to different areas and you see different styles of houses, different blocks, different feels, and this is so lovely, really.
This is a really nice neighborhood. I've lived here for 44 years.
Wow.
My house is turning 100 this year.
Wow. We love that.
Yeah. The neighborhood itself is a little bit older than that. Some of the houses here are maybe 105, something mm-hmm. like that. I can't remember. 1908. That mm-hmm. was the year that the first houses were built in this neighborhood.
Wow. It seems like a kind of grand house to me. It seems like maybe a doctor lived here.
Yes. Or... this was a neighborhood where professionals and where officers in a lot of the industries in Trenton lived. And maybe not the president or the CEO, mm-hmm. but the secretary gotcha. Or the treasurer.
They're really beautiful homes, and they all look different from
yes.
the outside.
Yes.
So they all have like a certain character to them, which is really cool.
And yeah, many of them are architect-designed homes. Mm-hmm. This particular neighborhood has four houses all designed by the same developer. I'm not sure I know who the architect was, mm-hmm. but designed so that they all look different from outside.
Which is neat, because I can't stand the cookie cutter, one house after the other, after the other. I would be afraid I would walk into the wrong house. Almost like, is this the right one?
Yep,
I gotta check the address again.
People do that.
I really would.
This neighborhood has house tours periodically.
You read my mind! Oh my God, that's so funny!
Yes, yes.
That's what the question was.
We had one, I think, last year, but I'm not sure when the next one is going to be, because it's a smaller neighborhood. There are mm-hmm. only 74 houses in the neighborhood.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's a lot of work to put on a house tour, mm-hmm. and people don't like to do it over and over and over again every year. So we do have house tours, and they're usually in the fall. We're not like Mill Hill, where I think they have something like 300 houses.
Wow. I think I was on one once. Or maybe I was there the night before. Maybe somebody had a cocktail party the night before. I don't remember actually going to each house. I feel like I was only in one house. I got stalled there or something. But yeah, so we have house tours in Mill Hill and Cadwalader Heights.
Cadwalader Heights, right.
Yeah, it's a lovely neighborhood and glad to have you in it. The way we met was at the Ellerslie. So tell us a little bit about the Ellerslie.
So Ellerslie is the name of the building itself, mm-hmm. built in 1848. And in 1973, Trenton decided they owned the building. They decided to change it from the monkey house that had been for years.
I was going to ask you about that. I heard rumors. I'm like, I wonder if this is actually true.
Yes, yes. In the 30s, the WPA took the building and decided that it would make a great zoo. So they actually housed monkeys at Ellerslie. I have heard rumors, but I can't find substantiation that there was an aviary on the second floor and they had birds up there. But again, I haven't found substantiation for that. But definitely monkeys. That's what everybody remembers. People who are my age or a little older remember going there as children and seeing the monkeys.
Okay, so you actually did see these monkeys.
Yes. I moved in 1974, the same year the monkeys moved out.
Oh. Oh, wow. See, they knew who was coming into the neighborhood, and they're like, get us out of here.
Right. So in 1978, it opened as a museum. And we had no pictures of the interior, so we're not really sure what the interior looked like. But it was designed by John Notman, who's a fairly famous Philadelphia architect, and he was famous for bringing the Italianate villa style to the United States. And Prospect House at Princeton University is very similar. If you go and take a look from the outside, step back, you can see the cupola. If you go inside and take a look at the stairwell, you can see similarities. Mm-hmm. So in 1978, it opened as an art and history museum, and I joined the board shortly after that.
So have you seen a lot of changes?
I have seen a lot of changes. For instance, the art that we show are usually temporary exhibits. Mm-hmm. Every 6 weeks or so, we change those exhibits. And it got so that the art was taking over the building. So maybe 20 years ago, not quite 20 years ago, we started focusing more on the history. So not only do we have permanent exhibits on the second floor of the porcelains that were made here in Trenton, but we have temporary exhibits based many times on our collection, but on other things as well that tell the history. For instance, we just had FVHD, which is an architecture firm that was celebrating its 100th anniversary, and they put together an exhibit, and through the process of putting together the exhibit, they and we realized what an influence they'd had on the way the public buildings look in Trenton, because they built many of the schools and some of the churches and other buildings.
Now, is that exhibit over?
That exhibit is over. Okay. It's been split up. Some of it went to the Trent House, some of it went to the Temple House in Ewing, and the rest went back to FVHD.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that was there. And I have not been in the Ellerslie in a long time, but a friend of mine told me about the Christmas sale that you guys had.
Yes, we have a boutique every year, mm-hmm. the first Saturday and Sunday of December. It's great stuff, fair prices, but what's really good about it is if you're going to buy gifts, you can get your friends and family gifts that they're not going to get from anybody else, because yes. nobody else makes it.
Well, I can attest to that, because I don't remember how many gifts I bought there, but I bought a few different things there. Jewelry, I actually bought some tea, I bought ornaments. It was great, because I'm not going to the mall and I'm not buying something that anybody could get. These were special items that somebody actually handcrafted.
Right.
And I thought it was wonderful. I thought every single artist and artisan there was top-notch.
Yes.
It wasn't cheesy. It was really beautiful work.
Quality work.
Beautiful.
Plus, our store mm-hmm. always brings in, now that may not all be handcrafted, mm-hmm. but they're always interesting and unusual items that are for sale in the store.
I agree. I think I bought an ornament in the store, too, as well as two handmade ornaments, because I bought them as gifts. Frank also bought a photograph of the Trenton Thunder from years ago or something.
The team that Babe Ruth was on?
Maybe.
Is that it? Yes.
Maybe and that was it.
Actually, when Thunder Stadium was just opening, we had a great exhibit that we called When Baseball Roared Like Thunder of old baseball memorabilia from back in the day when the mm-hmm. teams played here.
Yes, and his friend loved the gift, really loved it. you could really go back to the Ellerslie many, many times and see completely different exhibits.
Every six or eight weeks, there's something new going on, and you can check our website and see what's happening, or just come to Ellerslie Wednesday through Sunday from 12 to 4, and on Sundays it's 1 to 4.
This is not the only thing that you are responsible for, because you're one of the five people in Trenton running everything. You're also involved with the Trent House.
Yes, I am. I'm currently president of the board there.
Uh-huh.
And we are celebrating 300 years. It's the 1719 Trent House. It's now 2019, so it's 300 years that we're celebrating. And the board recently has decided that we don't want to be a place that you go to once and see everything and never have to go back. So we are doing a lot of research, and we are expanding our interpretation. It's no longer just about the rich white man who lived there, for whom Trenton is named. We also are looking at the other people who were there. He was a slave owner, so we're researching the lives of the enslaved people who lived there. We're researching the other residents of the house. We're also looking at, were they slave owners? Who else lived there when they were there? Did they have indentured servants? Did they have paid servants? So we're doing a lot of work in that regard. And although the furniture might be the same, the stories that you hear change as you come. And there's too much to see in just one visit. Mm-hmm. I've been on that board, I forget how long, but...
You're like the founding member of every board.
Well, no, that one started in the 30s.
Okay, sorry. No.
But it changes all the time. Mm-hmm. People who are my age, if they went as children, they saw an attempt to furnish the house in the style it was when William Trent was there. But a lot more research has gone on, and we have a lot better idea now what it would have looked like when Trent lived there. Mm-hmm. So not too long ago, we sold the antiques that were inappropriate for the house, and we had either found an actual antique that suited the inventory of the house when he died, or we had authentic reproductions made.
Oh, wow.
So when you go and look at that house now, there are some things that are missing. Portraits that might have been hanging on the walls, tapestries, or smaller items probably already had gone to family members when the inventory was taken.
Mm-hmm.
But all the big furniture is there, so the house looks very much the way it did. And we did research into what the wall paint colors were. You can go back in time by visiting the Trent House.
Well, I totally agree, because this year was the first year that I've been to the Trent. Now, I've lived in Trenton since 2003 and never been to the Trent House. And I have to say, a lot of it had to do with social media. I would be aware of stuff going on and I would have missed it. But because of the stuff coming up on social media, I'm like, oh, look what's happening. They're having the green sale. Let's go. And that happened to be the same day of the Ellerslie Boutique.
Boutique, yes.
So we stopped off. Both
in the
spots.
Millville House tour.
Oh, right, but we didn't do that this year.
Okay.
We did it last year. But yeah, there was a lot going on that weekend. It was really vibrant.
Yes.
That was really wonderful. And I have to say, the green sale, the best wreath.
Oh, good.
I'm telling you, I bought that wreath at a great price, and I've seen wreaths around, chintzy-looking wreaths for more money. This one was beautiful. It smelled great, and it lasted well until after the new year.
Did you get a decorated wreath?
Or no,
did
you, I didn't.
You
I just decorated
got
a plain one.
Good. Okay.
I just got a plain one and just hung it plain with a bow, and that was it, and put it in the kitchen.
Because the Trenton Garden Club decorates wreaths for us every year. We sell those. We also sell table decorations that they make for us, and they also, considering that they're hand-done, are very reasonable.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was I've been missing this all this year. So then we went back again, because of social media. I don't know if I'm saying this right. Hogmanay.
Hogmanay is a Scottish New Year celebration, and we've been celebrating it at the Trent House for a number of years, and we're very fortunate that the local bagpipers come.
From Trenton, right? They're
yes,
from Trenton.
Yes, yes. They come and perform every year, and March Caldwell Wilson, who was born in Scotland, always comes and talks about Hogmanay. Another custom that we always have, we write wishes for the new year or regrets from the past year, and we burn them in a brazier outside, mm-hmm. and they go off to the universe, and hopefully the wishes come true.
Yes, I saw that. And it was packed.
Yes.
Whoa. Yes. And there was a line outside, and there were people inside, and that was wonderful to see. And again, I think people finally were getting the idea, oh my goodness, this is a great place to hang out, get into the Christmas spirit or the New Year's spirit, see some history, and it happened to be a beautiful day.
Yes, we were lucky.
Oh my goodness. And I finally got into the Trend House, too.
Oh, good.
To walk around. It was beautiful.
So I was talking about how we're expanding our interpretation. Crossroads of the Revolution has been doing a project where they're putting signs around all around the state, mm-hmm. places that were of interest or significance during the Revolutionary War. And the Trend House had two residents. The first was a Tory doctor, and he actually turned the house into a hospital, apparently, during the battles on Trent. So that, or not the house maybe itself, but certainly the grounds. Mm-hmm. And so that the wounded soldiers of both sides could be taken care of there. And the second was Daniel Cox. He was a quartermaster for the Patriot troops.
He wasn't a quarterback for the Patriots, right? I'm sorry. I had to throw that
That's
in.
Tom Brady.
I know.
I was too old to be a quarterback.
Oh, man. I loved the Trend House. I actually, when I went in it, I was walking around thinking, I could totally live here.
Yes.
It's huge.
Yeah, it is. It's really big. And it shows how wealthy Trent was. I think there's something like 11 rooms at the Trent House. And they're big and high ceilings and huge windows. At a time when people were lucky to live in a one-room house.
Yes, yes.
You know, whole families lived mm-hmm. in one room.
With school ceilings.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. Because he was a Scot, he was quite thrifty. So the design of the house has some quirks to it that helped him to save money when it came to paying taxes. Like, there are 9 fireplaces in the house, but only 2 chimneys. Hmm. He put them catty-cornered in the rooms,
mm-hmm.
and so the same fireplaces could mm-hmm. use all the same chimneys, so he was only taxed on 2. And also, if you went in and you go into the hallway and you look to the right and the left, and if you look at the hardware on the doors, it's rather grand hardware. But if you go back towards the back of the house, which was the family part of the house, you will see much less grand mm-hmm. hardware on the doors. And in fact, there's one room where the front room goes into the back room, and on one side of the door is the expensive stuff, and on the back side of the door is just the plain metal.
Well, I guess that's how he got his money, right? He was
he was frugal.
Smart. Yeah. Okay. Another thing I noticed, which I thought was really cool, you guys have a garden there,
yes.
and I noticed apples. And I was looking at the different varieties of apples, and some of them date back to the 1600s.
Yes, those are all heirloom apple trees. They're apple trees that Trent may have had at the time that he lived there. The garden itself is also heirloom variety. There. The Mercer County Master Gardeners take care of the garden, and Charlie Tomford, who retired from Pensbury Manor, has helped us a great deal mm-hmm. with what varieties of fruits and vegetables we should have. I was going to say something about the acreage. I think we have like 1.5 acres mm-hmm. now, but when Trent lived there, there were 800 acres.
Wow.
And he did sell some of it off, and that's why it became Trent's Town. Mm-hmm. We also have a couple of exciting projects coming up. We've been doing archaeology projects. We found the foundation to the 1742 William Morris kitchen extension because the kitchen is in the basement, and that was very mm-hmm. unusual. It's a fire hazard. So William Morris wanted to have the kitchen separated from the house, so in case there was a fire, it wouldn't burn down the house. So we found the foundation of that, and we had to have ground-penetrating radar done for another reason, and we found a really interesting rectangular configuration in front of the house that we think may be the foundation of Malin Stacy's house. And Malin Stacy, with a group of something like 11 Quakers, were the first Europeans to settle in this area.
Even before Trent?
Even before Trent. Wow. Trent mm-hmm. bought the property from Malin Stacy's wow. son after Malin Stacy died. Wow. So we think that might be what that is. And this summer we have a project to start digging and find out what it is. We're working with Hunter Research, and we're also working with Monmouth University. Graduate students in archaeology are going to be doing the actual digging. But certainly people can come and see what's happening. We'll publish the dates when they're going to be on site, and people can come and take a look and cool. ask questions.
So we have a lot of people in Trenton who love history and love preserving it and sharing it and are so knowledgeable, and their expertise is fantastic. Let's talk about your vision. What do you see in the future for the Ellerslie or the Trent House or both?
The city owns four cultural institutions. Okay. The city owns Ellerslie, the city owns the Trent House, they own Artworks, and they own Mill Hill Theater.
Oh, okay.
And so we have been working with the city, one, to maintain those facilities, because if you let them go, it just gets more and more expensive. And
right.
we've seen too many places in Trenton and elsewhere around the state disappear mm-hmm. for lack of maintenance, mm-hmm. have to be torn down. Trenton High School being a perfect example
yes,
of that.
That's so sad.
I've been working with the city to bring those groups together, to talk with the city about how to do it. Another thing that we've talked with the city about is our programming and what we've been doing with our programming. And this mayor is a great supporter mm-hmm. of the programming that goes on. We just need to make sure he knows what we're doing so that we don't try to duplicate efforts. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things. And I think that Trenton is undervalued as a tourist destination.
I agree.
But as things like Patriots Week become better known, the things that go on at the Trent House or at Ellerslie or any of the other places become better known, more and more people will come here. And mm-hmm. social media is a tremendous help with that.
Yeah, I agree.
I've always felt that Trenton suffered from lack of having its own TV stations.
Mm.
And even when NJN was here, they were talking about the whole state, so they didn't focus on Trenton. Mm-hmm. So you don't hear much about Trenton from Philadelphia, if that's the TV that you watch, or New York, if that's the TV that you watch. Mm. And it was hard to get people to know what was going on, but social media is helping to break down those barriers.
I agree. I really totally agree. I was told to ask a question from Frank. Is there any relation between your name or your family and the Stetson hat?
Yes, there is.
Oh my goodness, I'm going to be so excited. He loves that.
So every Stetson in the United States is descended from one man who came here in 1639 and lived in Massachusetts, including John B. Stetson, who actually lived in Philadelphia, and that's the hat person. And he also endowed a university, a Stetson University in Florida.
Relation to you is?
A distant cousin.
Oh, but it is your family.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
So if the last name is Stetson, mm-hmm. and people didn't just pick the name, mm-hmm. then we're all related.
Wow.
So when we go on to Ancestry.com or whatever, that 123 one,
yeah.
They'll find we're all related.
Now, have you done that?
Actually, I gave that to my brother for Christmas, mm-hmm. and I'm waiting for him to get his results.
Oh, you don't know yet.
Don't know yet.
Now, other than Ancestry, what is your ancestry?
I'm originally from Massachusetts. So my father's family is the Stetson family that goes back to 1639, and my mother's family is the Pierce family, and they're actually in the United States from older than that. They came here in 1629.
Wow.
So we have roots that go pretty far.
From
England.
From England.
Both sides came from England. The Pierce side, there were a lot of Pierces, spelled either P-I-E-R-C-E mm-hmm. or P-E-I-R-C-E or P-E-A-R-C-E. Mm-hmm. And my brother thinks it was probably at one time may have been Percy.
Hmm.
But because of when they tried to blow up Parliament, that was a Percy involved with that.
Oh, okay.
So he thinks that they changed their name to Pierce to try to hide.
Okay.
I don't know whether he has any
yes.
documentation on that.
What is that? Guy Fawkes? Is that
yes.
Guy Fawkes?
Yep. Yes. Guy yes. Fawkes Day. Yep.
Yes. I'm an Anglophile, so I love all things British. So when I did my ancestry, I found out that I was like 6% Scottish. I was like, yes, I knew it.
On my mother's side were descended from the Wallace and Campbell clans. Oh, okay. And Wallace is, that's Braveheart.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yes, that's right. I just watched a movie involving that. I can't remember the name of it, but I love all that stuff. I love that history. Okay, so you said Campbell. Any relation to Campbell soup?
Campbell's a huge clan. So I'm sure there is a relation. Just how far back it goes, I don't know.
Wow, you are tied to so many things. This is wonderful.
But what I'm interested in, living in Trenton, this is a city of immigrants, and it is so interesting how Trenton has changed over the years. Again, at the Trent House, we are really interested, but also at Ellerslie. Mm-hmm. We're interested in the industry that was here, and who were the people who worked in the industries. The Trent House, before all those government buildings were built there, before their urban redevelopment, there were neighborhoods, and there was a lot of industry all around. Around the Trent House. So we're interested in exploring that as well. Not just the house, not even just the people who lived there, but what were the industries that were around there and where did those people come from?
I think it makes it a richer history. It puts things in perspective. Just a house sitting there and saying, oh, this is a nice old house and so-and-so lived here. But to know more about the people and their lives and what was it like? Where'd they work? What'd they do? How'd they eat? It just makes it a much more interesting and a richer thing. I think kids would be more interested.
I think so, too. And Paul Perez, for instance, who just ran for mayor, he grew up in that area. And he remembers as a child, I hope I'm not telling tales out of school here, he remembers as a child climbing over the wall that surrounds the Trent House, and the building that is now the visitor center was the housekeeper, I can't think of the right word, his house, and he would say, okay, you kids can play here. So he used to come in when the house was closed to the public and play on the grounds.
Oh, that's nice. That sounds like something I would have done, climbed over the wall and tried to get in. The Ellerslie and or the Trent House, would they ever be open to a private event? Like, say, if someone wanted to have a wedding there, venue?
So the Trent House is not, for several reasons. I mean, we do open our visitor center if there is a like-minded organization that wants to have a meeting there, which is fine. But the visitor center is fairly small, which is why there had to be a waiting line at Augmenay. We're happy to accommodate people there, but we don't really rent it out. Okay. Ellerslie, we do rent it out. We haven't had a wedding there, but we do have private parties there. People have had birthday parties. And actually, my son's wedding reception was there.
Okay.
So it is rentable.
That's good to know. That's good to know. So you hear that out there, Podcastia? It's a really cool location. Lots of space around, right in the middle of the beautiful park. Now, Cadwalder Park, was that also designed by the same people that designed...
That was Frederick Law Olmsted. Yes. He's considered the father of American landscape architecture. I don't think he ever actually came to Trenton, but not only did he design the park, he designed this neighborhood as well.
I could see that, yes.
And the park is beautiful, and it's always a struggle between public use today of the park and Olmsted's vision of the park. The reason that those streets through the park are all curving and circular is because as you went into the park, new vistas would open at every turn.
Yes. I could see the similarities between the person whose hand was in it from Central Park and that, where he wanted things to look like, oh, that tree just kind of grew there. But everything was designed and with a specific look in mind. Yeah.
And you can see it in this neighborhood, too, because I don't think there's another neighborhood in Trenton that has the curvy streets and the hills that this neighborhood has.
Yeah. I love coming in here because you drive up, you drive down a hill, you come around, and like there's a house up here on this hill, there's a house at this level. It's very interesting. It's not everybody houses on one level, blah, 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 blah. It's like up, down, look up here. And then if you live in those houses, I'm imagining your views during different seasons really change.
Yeah, it's really lovely. And also, the way it's designed, and I'm stretching a bit here, but I'm not the only one who thinks this. It fosters a kind of interaction among the people in the neighborhood. I know practically everybody in this neighborhood. There are some brand new neighbors that I might not know, but eventually I'll get to know them. It fosters that kind of interaction. We have a strong neighborhood association. We have meetings. We have parties. And it makes it extra nice to live here. Mm-hmm. It's not just a straight street where you just go into your garage and you drive out and you never see your neighbors.
Right. You You always even see people on the streets.
Right.
Like, where are the people? They're all in their house.
Yes.
But you know what? It's like the difference between sitting at a table or sitting at a round table. Because if you're a rectangular table, like a long street, you're really not going to be able to talk to the person that's four or five seats away from you. But if you're at a round table, you have much more interaction. So it's like all these curvy streets. I could see you have much more ability to connect with people in this neighborhood.
Yeah.
Very cool. Are there any events that are going to be going on in the spring, March, April, that we should know about?
Of course, as I said, at Ellerslie, we always have different exhibits. One of our biggest exhibits of the year is the Ellerslie Open. And it's an open juried show, juried in person, which is really unusual.
What does that mean, juried in person?
In other words, people have to bring their artwork to Ellerslie, and the juror physically looks at each piece to decide whether it's going to be in the show or not. And this is a huge task because more than 300 artists bring their work, and we get usually more than 500 pieces for the juror to select from. And they select between 100 and 140, depending on size and whether some of them are sculpture or not or whatever, pieces go in that show. So that is now a two-floor show. But among artists in this area, getting into the Ellerslie Open is a real coup. People really vie to do that. And we have some artists who return every year. And every year there's a certain percentage of artists who are brand new. And it's fun to see particularly the brand new artists, how excited they are. And there are always a few artists who don't understand the process and who don't understand, if they don't get in, what that might mean. What it really means is that their work did not suit the vision of the juror. Most of the work that we get submitted to that show is perfectly eligible to be accepted into the show. There are very few pieces that are so amateurish that we wouldn't look at them. It's almost self-selecting in that way. People know that there's a lot of competition, so they bring their best work.
And when is that show?
That show opens the first weekend in May and goes through the 4th of July weekend.
Okay, so if someone wants to be abreast of what's going on, where could they get this information? Where should they go?
They can go to our website and just see what's happening, but on our website they could also sign up for our emails. And there's a general list, but there's also a special list for artists. So if artists just want to find out when there are opportunities for them, they can sign up for that list and see what's going on. And that website address is www.ellerslie, which is spelled ellerslie.org.
Cool.
And the Trent House, as I said, it's our 300th year, so we have all kinds of interesting lectures for people who really want to dig down into what the history of this area is or the history of the colonial period. We also have a summer exhibit. We're going to have sculpture on the grounds. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
For our big celebration, we are having the chef from City Tavern in Philadelphia.
Wow.
Is going to come and talk, and we are going to have a colonial dinner. Not necessarily 1719, because that's really restricted, but maybe 1750, 1760, 1775.
Wow, so that'll be like a sit-down dinner?
Sit-down dinner.
Wow, so tickets will have to be purchased?
So tickets will have to be purchased, and it is a fundraiser for us.
I'm thinking that's going to sell out so quick.
I think so, too. We just need to work out some more of the particulars, and then we can start putting information. And we have another fundraiser going on there, which is 300 for 300. So if you donate $300 anytime during 2019, you'll get an engraved paver. You won't get it. We'll keep it. But you get to say what you want to have engraved. So you can be part of the legacy of the Trent House. And we'll put three lines, whatever you want to put. If you want to put in memory, memory of someone, if you just want to have your own name on there. And there's a section in front of the visitor center, between the visitor center and the house, where we're going to add some more brick pathway. And that's where those legacy bricks will be installed. The website for the Trent House is www.williamtrenthouse.org.
That one is an easier one than Ellerslie, because you could misspell the Ellerslie. So, Carolyn, is there anything that you would like to share that's on your heart about anything?
When I first moved to New Jersey in 1972 and told people I had met, people that I worked with, friends, etc., that I was moving to Trenton, they were like, oh no, you don't want to move there. So I thought, okay, this is a smaller house for this neighborhood. This will be my first house and maybe I'll move on someday. 44 years later, here I am.
Yes.
As I said, I grew up in Massachusetts, and occasionally when I go back and see some of my old friends, they say, oh, Trenton, so it must be so easy for you to go into Philadelphia or to go to New York. And I said, yes, it's very easy. There are great trains, the roads, it's only 45 minutes to one, an hour and a quarter to the other. But I never get to go because there is so much that happens in this city. There is something to do practically every weekend. Mm-hmm. And if there isn't, it means that I just sit by my fireplace and read.
Which is lovely, I might add. We're actually enjoying the fireplace right now. And so is that it? You think that you've covered everything?
I think I pretty well covered everything.
Okay, so let's make a toast. We're having bourbon cocktails here while we're sitting by the fire. It's a lovely way to spend an afternoon. So to the future of Trenton and its history and the people and anything else you'd like to add?
And the arts and culture.
Amen. Cheers. So this has been Christina with another episode of Trenton Waves, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at trentonwaves.com.
If you're a sleep apnea sufferer and you don't use or even like your CPAP machine, then you're possibly putting your life at risk. My name's Dr. Kevin Mossman, and not only am I a board-certified sleep dentist, but I'm also a sleep apnea sufferer myself. At our office, I can help you with a custom-made mouth device that takes the place of your dreaded CPAP machine. I love mine because it's comfortable and super easy to use. It costs you nothing to learn more about this life-saving mouth device. So call me today for a free consultation at 732-655-6585. Again, 732-655-6585. Or visit us online at sleepdentistnj.com. Again, that's sleepdentistnj.com.